Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron won't be joining us today.
He's probably on a beach somewhere. And I'm Jean Marie.
No, actually, he's working.
Oh, okay.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are going to be talking about monkeypox once again. We talked about it very recently.
Brief overview.
Probably, 2 weeks ago, a brief overview. And this time, we're going to be talking about monkeypox with Dr. Tiffany Nyberg. Dr. Tiffany Nyberg earned her medical degree from the University of North Texas College of Osteopathic Medicine in Fort Worth, Texas. Go Scrappy. Dr. Tiffany, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure and our honor.
Yes.
And Dr. Tiffany, to start, I would like to know what inspired you to pursue a career in medicine and emergency medicine in particular?
Okay, this is going to sound a little corny, but when I was a little kid, I wanted to fix everything for everybody. I didn't like to see people hurting or crying or upset or anything. And it kind of over time turned into this would be the way that I could do the most of that. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 20, I took an EMT course in college and I wound up loving it. So I went and got my medic and I decided to go to med school so that I could do emergency medicine. That's how I discovered the specialty I wanted to be too, because it turned out that I was good at dealing with emergencies. So. Okay.
Well, and speaking of emergencies, the world of emergency medicine, what has that been like over the past couple of years? Because boy, there's been some doozies.
Oh my God, yeah, it's completely different from when I entered back in the late 90s, as a paramedic. I've seen everything from did my residency in New Orleans, and I was there during Katrina, which was quite an adventure. So actually did a fair bit of the rescue and stuff like that, even in the Superdome. But I saw a bunch of hospitals get closed down, including Charity Hospital, where I was training at, and some of them were essentially destroyed. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, it started to be that in the last 7 or 8 years, the trend has been that big hospital chains are buying up the smaller ones, mm-hmm. and big hospital ER groups bought up all the small ones. So it's gone from independent groups and independent hospitals, these huge conglomerates, which I'm going to be honest with you, none of that's really good for patient care or treating doctors, ER docs like human beings. So actually, that's why I left the ER in August of last year, and I opened my own urgent care in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that does.
And a lot of times, a lot of the episodes that we speak with our guests, they explain how little time a person has with a doctor, how much time
we
do you have to...
We all could use more FaceTime.
Yeah, we need more FaceTime. We need more interaction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That is another reason. And now I can spend as much time as I want with patients.
I love that.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I have a question. How do you find any time for yourself and establish a good work-life balance amid, the emergency weather conditions and global pandemics and everything else that you faced?
Well, it's challenging, mm-hmm. but I prioritize what I really want to do. Things like spending time with my girlfriend and speaking with other people. I'm kind of an extrovert. I like talking with other people. That's actually a lot of what I do for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, being with my girlfriend and talking with her, and then also doing my online stuff, which I do a ton of. That's kind of, even though it's kind of a job, it's kind of also, and it's also not at the same time, if that makes sense, because I really enjoy doing it.
Right.
I think they say if you enjoy your job, you'll never work a day in your life.
Right.
Yeah. So that's perfect. That's wonderful.
Well, let's start getting into the crux of the matter. Mm-hmm. Dr. Tiffany, it seems like every day we're hearing about a new illness or disease. I know we're going to be talking about monkeypox, but what steps can my family and I take to avoid contracting the latest headline disease?
Okay, the most important thing is situational awareness. That does mean paying attention to the headlines now and then. Okay, you know, find a good source of medical news and follow that, you know, at least a couple of times a week, just so you know when something new pops up. Because something new pops up, for me, you know, it would be on my radar. Something new pops up in my state, it'd be in my consciousness. Something mm-hmm. new pops up in my city, it'd be all on my mind. Mm-hmm. So it depends, you know, just knowing where the problem is in relation to you is the number one way of preventing it. You know, number two would be to follow the recommendations of actual doctors. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And,
right.
And oh my God, is it ever rampant?
I know. We try very hard on social media to put out the correct information from the CDC, the NIH,
World Health Organization.
You've got to follow the science.
Yes, look for things like in my videos, I cite sources in all my videos, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the app will eat the sources, but I mean that anyone who's seen more than one of my videos knows that I'm actually quite noted for doing so. A legitimate creator is always going to be willing to cite sources. They're always going to have where that information came from. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be afraid of people asking that too.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right. And my mom is a huge fan of yours.
Oh yes.
That's how we found out about you.
Right. I follow you on TikTok.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good program and you're putting out the right information, and I follow people that do that. Dr. Tiffany, could you tell us a little bit more about monkeypox? We did a little bit of a brief overview to just let our listeners know about it a couple of weeks back, but is this a new condition? Do monkeys only spread it? And if I was vaccinated for chickenpox or had chickenpox already, am I immune to monkeypox? What is monkeypox all about?
Okay. Monkeypox was called monkeypox because it was first found in a lab monkey.
Okay.
It's not, it doesn't actually live in monkeys. It's not endemic in monkeys. It's not like where it comes from. Monkeys get infected just like humans do. It actually lives in rodents in Africa.
Okay.
It's not a new condition. We discovered it in 1958, and we found that it could infect humans in 1970. It's a first cousin of smallpox.
Okay.
It actually is only it's like a eighth cousin of chickenpox. If you've had the chickenpox vaccine or the shingles vaccine, it will not give you any protection against monkeypox. Nor if you had a prior infection of chickenpox or shingles or herpes or anything else except actual smallpox.
Okay.
Which thankfully is not existent on the earth, hopefully, anymore.
Right. Okay. Good to know.
And what are some of the symptoms of monkeypox, and how long after exposure does one develop symptoms?
Well, the incubation period, how long after exposure, it's anywhere between 5 and 21 days, but the average is 7 to 14 days.
Okay.
Only about 1% develop symptoms after 19 and a half days. So, you know, the 21 days quarantine is actually adequate to contain that part. But the symptoms, it generally starts off as a pretty high fever. Mm-hmm. You get flu-like symptoms, some nausea, body aches, runny nose, cough, those kind of things. Well, you know, basically, or COVID-like symptoms, or, you know, since mm-hmm. it's 2022. But
yeah.
At about 1 to 3 days, classically, after the fever starts, the sores develop. And they start first as little red spots that appear on the face and chest and hands. And then they spread to the rest of the body very quickly within a day. And then the little red spots become bumps. Then they have little clear blisters in the middle. And then they turn into pustules. Then they scab. And then they heal over. And that takes 2 to 4 weeks, that evolution.
Okay.
The latest variant, the thing, though, is sometimes people present with monkeypox these days with only localized rashes. It might look like shingles or herpes, or sometimes even hand, foot, and mouth.
Oh,
so that's okay. Why it's been able to dodge being identified until now.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that makes that's
hard to diagnose then. Yeah. Right.
And rashes seem like a challenge to diagnose anyway.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's say a patient comes in and has a telehealth visit with you, and you suspect that they may have monkeypox. Are there any tests out there to definitively confirm the diagnosis?
There are, and I've posted a tutorial on how to do them for healthcare providers on my TikTok page.
Okay.
It's under the playlist of monkeypox, and it actually is straight off the CDC website as far as how to collect it.
Okay.
You need to collect 2 swabs from one of the pustules or the sores, and you need to send them to your state lab. There's methods that I go into more detail in the video. But the state lab then tests it for orthopox, which is the family that monkeypox lives in. And then if that's positive, it gets sent to the CDC.
Okay.
So
it's
not the easiest mechanism, though. It took me a lot of work to find those procedures. That's why I made that instructional video.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Spreading the word on, yeah.
And we'll put a link for that on our website on this page.
What
treatments are available for individuals who have monkeypox?
Well, first, there's a very effective vaccine. There's actually 2 vaccines. One is the smallpox vaccine called ACAM2000, although that one's not routinely given out because it reacts badly if you have eczema.
Oh, okay.
The newer vaccine, the Jynneos vaccine, is the one that we are using right now. That one is safe for anyone with eczema and psoriasis and all those things. It is highly effective at stopping monkeypox. You can even give it after exposure and even after some of the early in the start of symptoms.
Okay.
So there's also some antivirals as well. There's an oral one called TPOX that you give. It's kind of like that Paxlovid that people take for COVID.
Right.
And there's some IV antivirals like sofosbuvir that you can give for sicker patients in the hospital.
Oh.
It is treatable. It's not, it's not quite like we were with COVID. We have some advantages this time.
Good.
That's great. And what steps can we all take to avoid contracting the virus or spreading it to others if we have acquired it?
So it's primarily spread by there's 2 means that it's primarily spread and 1 other way that it can be spread. The 2 primary means is skin-to-skin contact, which is one of the reasons that it's been spreading through certain communities. It is not an STD,
mm-hmm.
but if you imagine on things that get STDs, skin-to-skin contact mm-hmm. occurs regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So it also, you know, they could just as well spread on a wrestling team that way too, though. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay, and
correct.
Skin to surface contact, i.e. somebody with monkeypox sits on a lounge chair by a pool,
mm-hmm.
leaves the monkeypox on the lounge chair, and then someone comes and sits on that.
Right.
Chlorinated water kills monkeypox, but the furniture around the water park or the pool doesn't kill monkeypox.
Okay.
So those are 2 ways you can spread it. So actually, longer clothing and avoiding skin-to-skin contact, i.e. packed bars and stuff, you know, stuff like that, and concerts mm-hmm. is 1 way to avoid it. Also, certain festivals that have a lot of skin-to-skin contact.
Right.
Right.
You can get it also if somebody, say, coughs a big wet cough in your face, but it's really hard to pass it that way.
Okay.
And any mask would prevent that. Any mask.
Okay.
Even a paper one.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And with the summer months, I can, you know, I can
right.
see how we would want to all be just extra cautious.
Yeah, I mean, just think a bunch of little kids at a water park.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
You know, or people, you know, in a mosh pit.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Okay. 2 places you won't find us, but but absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay. That's great. Okay. We will make sure that we wear
longer clothes.
Longer clothes.
Yes.
And maybe put a towel down before we lay on any lounge chairs.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Tiffany, what steps are being...
Or just Lysol wipe it.
I'm sorry?
Sorry.
No, could you say it
I
again?
I said, or just Lysol wipe it.
Lysol wipe it. Yes.
Okay.
You can just Lysol wipe the surfaces down.
Right. Okay. We were talking when we did the brief overview a couple of weeks ago that I mentioned that on airlines, some people will use the drop-down tray, the food tray, to change their babies. And I'm like,
But we usually bring
we always bring wipes with us.
That's a bit cringy. Yeah.
Yeah. What steps can be taken to ensure that textbooks, medical databases, and general medical coursework includes depictions of people of all cultural and ethnic backgrounds? Because I know that a lot of textbooks are focused...
When they show a rash, for example, they'll show a rash on a Caucasian person, but it may look
different,
slightly different on someone who has more melanin in their skin. Day after a migraine, I can't think. We're just curious, like, what have you seen?
I have not seen monkeypox in person myself.
Okay.
So, but I've noticed the pictures will be, very much. They'll show the classic example of most textbooks do show a classic example of a rash on a Caucasian individual. And that is a form of bias and it does need to be addressed. Okay. They have started to include more pigmented skin on those kinds of examples as of late, mm-hmm. but there's still improvement that needs to be made.
Okay.
And only by actively making sure that people are, of different cultures and ethnicities are included when you do these kind of things, will that happen? Because it's only natural if you don't make an effort to do that. It's human nature to stick with what people know easily rather than search it out. So people who write these things need to remind themselves of this and to be vigilant to make sure that you do actually include other people, because it's not just trying to be politically correct. It's also, this is vitally important mm-hmm. for the proper diagnosis and healthcare of minorities and disadvantaged people.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons that the people are minorities and disadvantaged people is because of bias like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be addressed because it is quite frankly killing people.
Right. Yeah, we're always shocked at mortality rates and how they're higher in certain communities and there's no reason for it except, they're...
Or the rate of treating pain.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I follow a couple of pain doctors that are so... I mean, I love their soapboxes.
Yeah.
I mean, pain is pain. It needs to be treated. And
yes, and we need to be human beings about stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, you can tell you went into medicine for noble reasons.
Yes, there's a difference between money, following the money, and following the health.
Okay. I was going to say more, but my mind is...
Profits.
Yes.
Dr. Tiffany, what role... do computer-aided and AI-based applications play in diagnosing conditions like monkeypox? What are the, what other advances are there on the horizon maybe to help make medical care more inclusive and decisive in the future? And I guess I'm thinking more like Google's AI for diagnosing, skin cancer and things of that nature.
There's not really anything resources for monkeypox right now. The problem with computer programming is it always lags. It's going to lag behind things by a few months to a couple of years. It's like
mm-hmm.
textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Textbooks are always like 2 years out of date by the time they're published. But they're also they're the tools that we use.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they're useless. It just means you got to be aware of it. But the thing is, maybe one day there'll be diagnostic algorithms that actually work, but right now they have been rather disappointing in their results.
Okay.
There are lots of online resources that are very effective. I mean, just things like UpToDate have revolutionized, the knowledge and evidence-based medicine accessibility for millions of doctors and practitioners in the U.S. because you could just literally, that's like medical Google. if you're not up to date. So, but it's, you know, so those tools are there and they're very effective, but eventually some things that actually do diagnose things will come up. I'm not sure exactly how I feel about that, because eventually they would make us obsolete, but which I don't think so.
Hope not,
I think medicine also needs humanity in it too. The thing about medicine is it is science, but it is also, it's got to have humanity. It's got to have compassion and empathy in it.
Sure, of course.
Absolutely.
No, we don't want to get rid of the doctors. We just want to give you
more tools. Yes.
We use science, but we're more than science.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Yeah. You guys go through, you know, you're constantly updating, your, you know, education and learning more. And I hope that you're never replaced, because we need more people like you out there.
Just an off the wall. Can I do an off the wall question?
Go ahead and do an off the wall question. We can always edit it out later.
I'm sorry. I'm just curious. As far as the skin-to-skin contact and possibly contracting monkeypox, wouldn't a shower with chlorinated water afterwards take
but
care of it?
But if it's a pustule and it's, you know, there's exudate, there's...
You would have to do it. You would have to do it instantly or almost instantly.
Okay.
And you would have to also hope that you had no breaks in your skin where that contact occurred, even microscopic breaks, so like a tiny little... Like, you know, you're playing with your cat and it kind of just
That's poked, all it takes. Okay.
You know, a pinhole size thing in your forearm, you know?
Right. Not just for me, but, you know, our listeners may think, I'll be safe because I'll just hop in the shower afterwards. But that's not always
I wish it was that simple. Unfortunately, unfortunately, it isn't that simple. It's a good thought, and I've been asked that question before. It's now if you get it on your hands, or if you realize that you're touching, like if you're in a medical situation, and I'd realize that somebody's rash, that they thought was poison ivy or something like that turned out to be suspicious for monkeypox, I would immediately wash my hands. And that would help, but it also would not guarantee that I wouldn't get it.
So universal precautions.
Yeah.
And if you see...
Yeah, but you can't do that when you're at the mall, really. So,
no, right. <you know. laughs>
we're not all walking around with hazmat suits.
No,
and,
no, we avoid those. So, Dr. Tiffany, could you tell us about Urgent EMS and your role in that company?
Urgent EMS, it is. I'm part owner. I'm not the founder, but I am part owner. And I am the chief medical officer and medical director. So we have one physical location, and that is our urgent care and in the middle of downtown Shreveport at 201 Market Street. And I basically, there I see patients, I direct patient care when we have other providers. Basically I write the protocols also that govern the medical care that happens there when I'm not there, if we have another practitioner. So.
Okay. And did I hear that you're considering getting a mobile unit to go out into the community, like a bus?
Yeah, we already do make house calls.
Okay.
We use a vehicle to get there. You know, I've gone in my car before.
Okay.
House calls are premium services, but they're also things that we do. And we do that especially for monoclonal antibodies when people are sick with COVID. That's actually the most common scenario where we go to somebody's house.
Okay.
And I imagine that, again, an off the wall thing, but it must give you a real insight into that individual, because the person that appears in your office is, that gives you so much information. But when you make a house call, it can be, you learn a lot more about the person just from the situation and their environment. So that is amazing.
Right. Well, when Jean, I'm pointing at her, when you were a kid.
So a long time ago.
A long time
when
ago.
When there were horse and buggies in the street.
We had a doctor that did house calls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that's amazing. That's an amazing premium service to have.
Right.
So yeah, the people of Shreveport, you guys are very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very lucky. Dr. Tiffany, how can our listeners learn more about monkeypox and your TikTok and the work that you're doing?
Well, my TikTok handle is tifftastic75. And I have playlists and all that there. I also cover COVID and other medical news. And and I always vet everything precisely. I've never had to retract a video for inaccuracy. So that's one place. I also have a website, tifocracy.com. It's not a democracy, it's mm-hmm. a tifocracy. There's the Urgent EMS website, of course, too, which has all the contact info for if you want to come see me as a patient or anything like that.
Right.
Tifocracy, though, has a lot of information on that. It has a lot of things like longer interviews that I've done that I can't put on TikTok. It has links to like my YouTube channel, and I'm pretty easy to find. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, and if somebody wants to get in contact with me and they don't mind, since it does take me a long time to, check things when I probably have an aggregate of somewhere near 100,000 followers, if they don't mind waiting a day or two, I'll see their DM or stuff like that eventually on one of the platforms. I see the TikTok ones first, but because mm-hmm. That's my primary platform. But yes, you can find me pretty easily if you try, and my information is all shared, is all like my videos. Mm-hmm. Anyone can use them, anyone can download them, anyone can repost them. I make them expecting that to happen. I want the public to have the information. I don't care so much about the credit for it. It's just there as a free resource for anyone to use.
Great.
Yeah,
great.
We've been recommending it to people in the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
CNAs.
Medical students.
Mm-hmm. Yes, paramedics, because you're a great resource and you make everything very clear and understandable.
Right. Right. And we'll make sure that we put those links on our website.
Yes.
And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to talk to us today about monkeypox, Dr. Tiffany.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
We are so honored to have
yes.
you on.
Yes.
My mom is kind of stalks you. So she's extra excited today to be able to talk with you.
Right, right. It was good to at least meet you in person this
yes.
way.
Well, I've been looking forward to this. So.
Thank you. And I will send you a link through email on when this one will post. It's going to be a couple of weeks from now. And it'll have links so that you can share those on your platforms as well.
All right. I appreciate it, and I will.
Thank you.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, or TikTok.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or a treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.